He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the Monday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Keit, our chartered financial analyst, and we have a lot to look forward to. A couple big events this week, one starting today, one on Wednesday. In the meantime, we've got a bump to the upside so far today. The Dow is up 112 points. That works out to 30 basis points, and that puts the Dow at 38,826. The S&P is up 46 points. That works out to 90 basis points. And it's up to 5,162. The NASDAQ doing the best of all, and that's one of the events this week, today and tomorrow, the big AI conference. Jensen Huang, CEO of NVIDIA, will be speaking. We'll see how the NASDAQ does after those 2 days are over. However, the NASDAQ's up 223 today, up 1.4%, 16,196. Small caps are down 8 points. Crude oil continues to climb, and that's inflationary. We'll see if the Fed mentions that at their meeting on Wednesday. It's at 81.69. Gold is down a dollar. The 10-year is up 2 basis points to 4.32. And Bitcoin is up $171 to 67,217. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Keit is here, our chartered financial analyst. We're off to a good start so far this week, but we'll see. There's a couple of market moving of week, and one of those is today, okay? We'll talk about that in a minute. But before we begin today's action, let's just see where we closed last Friday, which we had our second down week in a row. And I did write in my newsletter over the weekend about the current technical status of the market. There's two things that worry me about the market right now. One would be the valuation. That's number one. We closed the week at 21, just over 21 times earnings on the forward PE. The 10-year average is 17.7. The 5-year average over the last 5 years is more in the 19 area because we've been in a low interest rate environment. So that 21 point, just over 21, is kind of hard to justify right now. There's a little bit of E in that E of earnings, and that would be euphoria. And I would say it's mostly coming from AI. And we're seeing that today, Barry, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Once again.
Yeah, I think you broke it. I mean, I think you broke it down perfectly in terms of forward PEs or just PE ratios in general. Is, you know, as interest rates go down, your market, right, should, will likely command a higher PE ratio. And historically, you know, looking at the 5-year or the 10-year, right, those are some pretty light interest rate years in terms of the Fed. So if you look at your long-term PEs, right, going even back further, of course, historically the PE ratio has been, you know, even closer to 15.
Exactly.
Right? But it's, of course, interest rates impact that. But, yeah, being regardless, anytime you're over that 20 range, particularly for an extended period of time, then you begin to get a little shaky, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not sustainable is the problem. And we'll see what the Fed has to say this Wednesday. You know, since they last met, there's been some hot PPI. We had a hot PPI print on Thursday. We had a CPI on Tuesday that showed that inflation is not gone yet. And we saw interest rates last week go up. We began the week at 4.08. Now we're at 4.32. So we're up almost a quarter of a percent That should have driven the P.E. ratio down more than it did. It had a little minor effect on Thursday and Friday. Well, Friday the Dow was down 191. The NASDAQ was down 155. So that's my first concern, is the high P.E., forward P.E. ratio. That's taking the current price of the S&P 500, which is around 52, 5100, and dividing it by the earnings estimates for the next 12 months, which are at about $248, $247 per share. And that's a rich P.E. multiple. We closed Friday at 21.08. The P.E. ratio, looking backwards over the last 12 months, is 22.95, almost 23. So that's very rich. Okay, now the second worry that I have, we've come a long ways, and I outlined that in my newsletter on Friday. We, let's see, the semiconductor sector, this all kind of began in October of last year, this torrid run that we've been on. This is now mid-March, so this has been going on now for about 5 months. During that time, the semiconductor is up, sector is up 65% in 5 months, and most of that is three stocks, NVIDIA, which is up like 200% during that period of time, AMD, and ASM lithography. Now,
and this is really their second leg, because if you look back at the first 6 months of even 2023, right, where we actually took some gains in mid-July when you had that, there was a pullback there. And then now this is the, like you said, the catapult, over the last 5 months where, we were already at all-time highs in a lot of those names.
Yeah. So. Now, we had very, quite a sell-off over the last couple of days last week. Now, we've kind of have a catalyst here in the market today, and that's that, is it GTC conference that they're having?
Oh, yeah, the AI, now apparently referred to as the, as you mentioned last week, AI Woodstock.
Okay, AI Woodstock,
that
so that's
today,
happening.
Right, yeah.
And that's a catalyst right now. We don't know what NVIDIA will announce. There is was an announcement from Apple that they're looking at Google, not Microsoft, to be their partner in AI for the iPhone, and that's boosting Google a little bit here today. Qualcomm had an announcement over the weekend on their Snapdragon chips, so that's also giving us a little bit of a boost in the NASDAQ today. We'll see, though, when things die down, once this catalyst is gone on Monday and Tuesday. Now, since October, while the semiconductor sector was up 65%, the NASDAQ itself is up 27.6% since late October. Late October, so really you're looking at just about 4 months. And now I'm seeing the NASDAQ. Well, first I saw the Dow. It started to level off into a sideways trend after this massive uptrend that it's gone on. That's either a cooling off phase, regrouping, and it's going to break out again to new highs, or it's exhausted right now. It's getting ready to roll over and correct. And if you do the math, to get the forward P.E. ratio back down to 19, let's just take it back to 19, you'd have to see the S&P 500 go down to 4,560, which would be about an 11% drop from its current level. So you just have to understand that we're in a very high danger zone, small craft warning type of environment right now. You have to have like not a red flag. A red flag means there's a hurricane coming, a bear market coming. But you have to have a pretty strong cautionary flag flying right now for putting new money into NVIDIA, putting new money into AMD at this level, putting new money into the super microcomputer at this level, okay? Now, there's been a lot of stocks that have been left behind, okay, and there are opportunities out there, but you have a valuation problem on the S&P 500, and now you have a technical problem, which is a ceiling. The markets for now have stopped going up, and they're starting to form that ceiling. Now, they can break out to new highs from here, but the headwind in our face is the valuation of the market. Now, if he comes out, if Powell comes out totally dovish on Wednesday, saying, oh, boy, three rate cuts ahead, that could set the market off again into another rally mode.
Well, which would justify potentially a higher multiple.
Yeah, so we'll see. Between now and Wednesday, today, tomorrow, Wednesday, then the Fed announcement, we'll see if we can break out to new highs again. But there's some pretty stiff headwinds right now. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. One other item I'd like to point out here is while the Dow is really the one that is really topping out, has been in that kind of topping pattern. Now that, again, topping for now. It could break out to new all-time highs. It could clear 40,000 feet. We'll see. It came very close to 40,000. We're about 900 points away. But you do have two things now. You have a valuation headwind. We don't have a lot of catalysts coming up either. We've got about 3 weeks, 4 weeks until the next earnings season. And you've got this ceiling now kind of in place. Now, if you go look at the inverse of the Dow, which I like to do, is dog. Which is the inverse, one-to-one inverse of the Dow. If the Dow goes up 50 points, the inverse goes down 50 points, and vice versa. Dog is building a very strong floor right now, foundation, and it's going sideways. So when things level off after a big uptrend, we call that a number three pattern. When things level off after a downtrend, that's a number one. That's where it all begins, in that number one pattern. And sometimes the number one pattern can break down, and you can break that floor. But right now, the inverse fun on the Dow is tracing out a very firm bottoming pattern, which further gives a little bit more oomph to that topping pattern that the Dow has been tracing out here. Okay, so we've got Woodstock this week. AI Woodstock is what they're calling it. And I'm going to be watching. There's also a big energy conference in Houston. I think that's an annual conference that's taking place today. And by the way, the energy stocks probably were the best performing sector in the market last week. They were really the only sector that was up last week. We've had two down weeks in a row of in the market, which further emphasizes that topping pattern that's been taking place, that it's either a stalling out pattern or it's a topping pattern. Only time will tell.
Yeah, it reminds me of your picture on the front of the newsletter this weekend.
That was a perfect picture to find for the state that the current market is in. Now, if you didn't get the newsletter, I spent about two or three extra hours on the newsletter on Saturday. It went out later in the day, but I felt like it was necessary because we've had this long run since October. People are sitting on some fat profits right now, clients and subscribers and do-it-yourselfers at home. And wondering, should I be pulling the trigger here? It's harder to know when to sell, really, than to know when to buy. It's easy to buy. Blah, buy, throw it in the cart. What do I care?
That's a
fun
part,
put it in my cart.
Yeah, that's
get it delivered.
Part. Yeah.
Now, the sell is more of an art form, more of a, I would say experience comes in there, watching the charts. Valuation comes into play there, and the overall sentiment in the market comes into play also. So anyways, we'll also get the dot plot. Explain to the folks, in layman's terms, what the heck is a dot plot?
Yeah, well, it's it's part of the, I think it's called the Fed's view of economic conditions. Comes out, they release it a few times a year. It comes out every, I think third or so Fed meeting, and essentially it's just a, if you, put a committee in a room, everybody decides where they think interest rates are going to be at this period of time, this period of time, this period of time. So everybody's making dots on a chart,
independent from one another,
independently, okay. Right? Or also, sure, some of the there are a lot of them looking at the same data and in economic theory, what have you. But you mash all those together, right, and average it out, and there you go with
the
dot plot.
And, okay,
and in this one you'll see where. How many, I think there were only two votes for, two votes shy of, having three on the chart for this year, three rate cuts or two. And you'll likely, I would guess, going to see it go from three to two this time, which will be, kind of the story of the dot plot.
So. Right. Okay. So now that will be on Wednesday. The other catalyst under today's move, and I saw this news early in the morning. There was some pretty good news out of China today. And China's been a big drag on the market. But their January and February retail sales rose 5.5%, which is pretty good. It was above the consensus, if you can believe the numbers. And the industrial production was up 7%. So, okay, China had a couple of good numbers. And that definitely, the futures were pretty flat until that when that data came out, and the futures definitely got a big bump from that. So that's definitely having an impact on the market today. So what will they be looking for today? And I'm going to be watching the TV in the background. Growth and artificial intelligence-related stocks will be active today as NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang gives the keynote speech. And he will be introducing new products coming from NVIDIA later today. And that's why there's so much excitement in NVIDIA stock today. NVIDIA is also kind of beginning a topping formation, too. NVIDIA is up 3.4%. NVIDIA took off in late December when they came out with early January, actually, this year. And, it hasn't looked back, really. It had one little stall in mid-February. It hit a new high about 10 days ago, and that's finally cracking, okay? That uptrend is finally starting to level off. So if he doesn't have something big up his sleeve, NVIDIA could cool off a little bit. But anyways, Wall Street will be looking for updates on the B100. I guess that's the next chip coming from NVIDIA.
Yeah, and I think details on speed and what it can do from a computing power standpoint, right, in terms of that next, because no matter what, you've got to have the computing power. And so as they improve the chips, right, well, then that's going to improve the speed of these AI models.
And most of the target prices right now for NVIDIA, shorter term, about the 1,100 area, and it's at 900. I still think the stock's going higher, but it could definitely correct from here, and it could stall out from here. It's come a long ways in a short period of time. Now, if they have a big, big announcement, it's basically going to be the B100, which is codenamed Blackwell. Going to be manufactured by Taiwan Semiconductor. They'll come out with pricing details, memory usage, all this kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens. Okay, now, Apple in discussions to allow Google's AI tool, Gemini, which has been a flop so far, they've had to take it off the market a couple of times, to power their iPhone AI features. So Apple's getting a little bit of a bump from that. Not much. Well, yeah, it is. Up 2.8%. AI coming to the Apple iPhone. And it looks to be powered by Google, which is up 7% today. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, forget the market, Barry. On Thursday and Friday, the beginning of March Madness, imagine how much would we bet on those games.
Yeah, I saw some numbers, and it was, I mean, I guess when you include more and more states, right, having that, I guess, ability to do so, the number even goes up, or at least gets tracked. Yeah,
wow. $2.7 billion, and for the sports books, that is collectively much bigger than the Super Bowl. So more is bet on March Madness. The interesting setup that I see here in round one, if Connecticut beats Stetson, which they should, Connecticut's ranked number one, they're the defending champion, and if my little San Diego State win, we could have a rematch of last year's final game, you know, early on in the tournament, which would be
right.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll be watching that. San Diego State's number five in that division. They're going to play University of Alabama. Of course, we'll be watching the University of Charleston, which has a really good team.
Yeah, College of Charleston, I think they drew Alabama, if not mistaken, and Alabama can they're pretty – pretty good scoring team, so I mean, you know, it's a tough matchup for them. But
yes,
it's good to get there anyway when you're that size of a school here at the College of Charleston.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a little college downtown Charleston. And then, of course, Clemson and South Carolina also made it into the tournament, which begins on Thursday. I've got my TV ready for that event coming up. So we'll be watching DraftKings, Flutter Entertainment, Caesars, Penn, MGM. We're also going to get a big IPO this week. Reddit is said to be five times oversubscribed, putting a $6.5 billion valuation on this company in place.
Wow.
That's coming on Wednesday. I don't know how much they make, what they have in sales. I guess all their money is through advertising and subscriptions. So that's one of the biggest IPOs that we've had in a while. We're going to get some earnings this week from FedEx, Nike, Xpeng, which continues to lower their price on electric vehicles, Tencent Holdings, General Mills, Chewy, Darden Restaurants, and a few others. For the first time, Eli Lilly's Zepbound prescriptions exceed Novo's Wegovy.
Hmm.
And I'm watching somebody I know in our neighborhood that I see quite often who just started the, well, it's a knockoff. Semaglutide, I guess, is the name. It's a knockoff. It's basically the same. And so far, that's all I can say. It's working. It seems to be a miracle drug. But that's big for Lilly to surpass Wegovy. Of course, Wegovy got a running start and a head start on Lilly. Lilly's up $12 a share today, 1.7%. Qualcomm, okay, we're going to see. They unveiled their Snapdragon chip. The stock's only up 70 cents today. After teasing it on social media, Qualcomm officially unveiled its new Snapdragon 8S Gen 3 mobile platform on Sunday. They're hoping it will usher in an era of generative artificial intelligence on smartphones.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Apple was, you know, announcing, you know, kind of that partnership with Apple and Google in terms of using, I guess, Gemini on the iPhone. And that's kind of, you know, that's that next level of, I guess, having AI in your hand, which even requires more computing power, right? Particularly from a Wi-Fi or cell service, right?
Yeah, and you got to have the chips that can handle it. And it looks like they're going to dominate Qualcomm with the chips inside of those iPhones. Now, that partnership between Google and Apple is not official.
Right. You don't know which way it's going. It's an interesting dynamic because, Google actually pays, Apple to be on their phone in terms of search. And in this instance, right, the way that the wording of the, the potential deal, like you said, not official, is, who pays who in this one, right? Is it Apple paying for Gemini's platform or vice versa?
Yes, and, Google obviously is already in the Android phones, but the Apple phone is still up for grabs. They have a developers conference later this year in fall or late, maybe summer, where they'll announce who they've chosen, because they have also talked to Microsoft about their open AI, ChatGPT.
Well, and it's weird because you would think they might would have their own, right? That's the other piece of it.
You'd think Apple would have their own, but don't.
That's essentially, if you think about it, they've really, it seems that they've missed the boat a bit from an innovation standpoint because, they've had Siri for how long, right? Which is, in a certain extent, initial or early version of AI, right? So it's kind of unique and interesting that they're partnering and not doing it themselves.
It's also, this is just a rumor, okay? And Google is up 7% on this. Now, this is coming from Dan Ives at Wedbush saying that that Apple's in talks with Alphabet, talks with them. And they've already talked with Microsoft, and Google is up 7% on that news. And Apple is up 2.9% on that news, even though it's just a rumor out there. So this is more proof of AI mania. Forget about March Madness.
This is narrative is what it's called.
Yeah, so we'll see. Well, Fisker may have gotten a lifeline. Good luck with Fisker there. Somebody stepped forward. It may be Saudi Arabia. I don't know. Somebody gave them $150 million, an existing investor that will provide the You know what? Why don't you just take $150 million and light a match to it? That's my opinion on this, Fisker. It must be other people's money that they gave them. Of course, that's pretty much what private equity is other people's money. That's a big lifeline, but will it get them to the next level? I don't know. In the meantime, Lucid, which has got strong backing from Saudi Arabia, that stock's $2.75 per share. And we've also talked about Tesla being the biggest loser in the S&P 500 so far this year. Now, the other big news that kind of went quietly, it didn't happen quietly if you're in the real estate business, if you're a real estate broker. This is kind of the same thing that hit the stock business 25 years ago when the big commissions on buying and selling stocks were done away with and the discount brokers came in. And, the discount brokers probably were around 20 bucks a trade originally, and it went. Then there was a price war. I remember when they went to 6.95 per trade, and then someone came out with 3.95 per trade, and then it was free trades. Okay, that's how that went. Well, the real estate industry has been at 6% for as long as I can remember, but now. Not anymore. There's going to be some heavy, heavy competition, and we'll see what that does. And you saw stocks like Zillow and Redfin really get hammered. And, of course, if you're a real estate broker, that's going to be a big dose of reality and big change coming to the real estate industry with commissions definitely headed lower and a more competitive environment. Well, in our business, it went to fee-based, which was totally different from the commission-based, and it was more aligned. Fee-based is much more aligned with the investor,
correct? Yeah.
And the client.
It's not transactional.
No, and there's a lot of people in the real estate business could feasibly steer somebody toward a $2 million home instead of a $1.2 million because there's a commission involved. There's a much bigger commission. And that was part of the decision. And there are, the Real Estate Association, National Realtors, they got sued and they had to pay a big, heavy fine. So anyways, big change is coming. Now, the last thing I would mention here is I was watching the airline stocks last week. Boeing continues to drop. I'm seeing three stocks rising. There's a couple of leasing companies that lease jet aircraft. They're breaking out. And I also noticed that Brazil's Embraer, ERJ, is breaking out. They're the third airline maker that is kind of doesn't get a lot of headlines, but it's also breaking out, too, with this Boeing issue. We'll be right back. See what's happening underneath the surface of the market. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show as the market looking ahead to NVIDIA's conference today and announcements on possible new AI chips, the pricing thereof, coming from Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA. And that's got the market all excited here today. And you had good news out of China this morning that I think is also a catalyst under the market. We'll get a dose of reality on Wednesday from Chairman Powell as to the future of interest rates and how many rate cuts we can expect this year. Right now, we're expecting three rate cuts, but that could well be cut to two, and we'll see what he has to say. That has a lot to do with it. Now, if we look at the market, guess who the biggest loser in the Dow is today? Once again, dang, Boeing. Man. Boeing is once again is down 1.5%. That's been a tough, tough chart. Boeing's gone from 267 to 180.
When I saw the picture that you had on the newsletter of the of the plane and the different altitudes, I wasn't sure exactly where the story was going at the beginning because I didn't know if it was going to be.
That's also the chart
gonna,
of Boeing.
Yeah, Boeing story. But
the problem is Boeing hasn't come in for a landing yet.
No,
right?
Exactly. That's that's what
it's
I was
still in
first
a
thing
descent.
That came to mind.
Now, it is hitting support, technical support. I got to believe at some point your deep value contrarian investors are going to be looking at Boeing. They'll look at their book value. They'll look at their free cash flow and things like this and say, they're going to eventually come out of this. But Boeing is still looking for the runway here to land.
And I still think your article from years ago, in terms of coming out of the pandemic, I think you wrote in April of 2020 or late
the Boeing
March of 2020.
Bottom.
Yeah, the Boeing bottom. To me, a lot of that logic still applies in terms of it's like the premier American manufacturing, right?
Sure.
Aerospace engineering company, right? And it's, at some point you think they have to get it turned around, but it's, we've kind of been saying that for an extended period here.
Yeah, and that's a big part of the Dow maybe leveling off, too, is Boeing, its descent has infected the other stocks in the Dow. Now, the biggest winner in the Dow right now, it's tech. It's going to be Apple on rumor that they're going to get generative AI in their phones. We're not going to know, though, for several months. This is just a rumor. But Apple has also been a big drag on the Dow. And Salesforce is up 1.2%. But if you look at Salesforce CRM, that's a good example of that topping out pattern that I've been talking about. It's really the tech sector. It's really visible in the software stocks. The software sector hasn't come as far as the semiconductor sector has since October of last year. It's up about 35%. The semis are up 65%, but the software sector has also leveled off. It's at the opposite of what Boeing's doing. Hopefully Boeing can start to draw a sideways trend, you know, after this descent. Salesforce is drawing a sideways trend after an ascent to the upside. And the other software stocks are doing the same thing, the cybersecurity stocks. Palo Alto Networks kind of brought an end to the software stocks. So they don't look very good right now, but Salesforce. Okay, now if we go to the S&P 500 here, let's see what's moving there. It's mostly tech is definitely leading the way, and I think it's mostly the excitement about it's kind of weird that the whole tech is up because of that. Google's the biggest winner in the NASDAQ today. It's up 7% on the rumor that that Apple is going to choose it, even though Google's had a lot of missteps in that AI, and they've had to pull their Gemini, which is the exact system that Apple's in talks with them about. Tesla's having a good day. I don't know why. It's up 5%. Today.
Yeah, they announced that they're. I think it's on the Model Y. They're going to raise the price by $1,000, and that's going to. I think it's
kicks
in early April. But you know, the trick there is it does that mean, you know, is that for go forward profitability, or is that for, you know, the fact that their costs are more or higher, or is it, you know, just to generate, you know, almost like a marketing tactic where if you were sitting on the fence about buying one, well, maybe you'll go ahead and buy one now because they're going to raise the price.
Yeah, that, well, okay. Well, and there's probably a lot of short interest in Tesla these days.
You would imagine.
So
yeah.
Any kind of news at all. And this thing hit a new 52-week low on Friday, Tesla did. So I don't get too excited about Tesla's move. The one that does catch my eye, however, Arista Networks, A-N-E-T, one of our biggest holdings still. Man, that's a good chart on A-N-E-T. Off and on, it's been the number one ranked stock in the Best Stocks Now app for quite several months now. And it is right in that, it's hand in hand with the servers, with the chips from NVIDIA, and with the artificial intelligence software. So we still like it. Okay, then the biggest loser in the S&P 500 today. I don't see anything that really jumps off the page there to me. And last but not least, let's just look at the NASDAQ real quickly. I'm sure NVIDIA is probably... No, Google's the biggest winner in the NASDAQ on that rumor. And then you've got Tesla at up 5.2%. Adobe's got a little dead cat bounce going on. It's up 2.7. NVIDIA's starting to lose its steam. It's only up 2.6% right now. Okay, well, we'll see what goes on today. We'll look forward to the Fed on Wednesday. If you didn't get the newsletter, I put an extra 2 or 3 hours in it on mostly for myself. Okay, that's my internal research that I share with you, because I'm sitting on some big gains myself and looking for... Wow, is it time to lock in some of those profits? Get the newsletter, 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com, or set up an appointment with us. We've had a lot of people move their accounts from other people. I've seen some bad portfolios lately, Barry, coming from, I don't know who designed the portfolios, but when they got here, they were pretty much a mess.
And get your gardening tool out.
Oh, boy. In some cases, man, I get out the weed whacker. All right, you can set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.